1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier, and we'll be talking with Doug today about, well, we'll be talking about a book that he has written. It's got a challenging title. It's called Boy, Did We Look Stupid, A Short History of 9/11. And he'll be talking with us about that and also something very controversial in New York and around the country. They want to have a series of concerts at the World Trade Center at Ground Zero. Is that right, Doug?
Well, that's correct, Phil. The reason why the book is called Boy, Do We Look Stupid, I don't think there's anything controversial about it so much as it's the timing might be interesting for some people. I think with the hindsight is 2020, and I think when we look back on 9/11 2001, I think we're a little bit embarrassed.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, the flying of the flags, people were blubbering, the shows of weakness. I think we looked a little silly. I think we overreacted in a lot of ways. I think we realize now, maybe a lot of people are realizing now, just how ridiculous we looked. And that's why you're not seeing as many people observing the second anniversary of 9/11. I think people want to kind of hide their heads a little bit and say, well, that that wasn't me, that was somebody else, you know. And also, on top of that, I think what we're seeing here now is a return to what we do well as Americans. What about my job? What about my career? These kinds of things. One of the things that I like to put into the book is my own history. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I'm able to see, I think, a little bit more clearly our reasons for being the way we are, our reactions to things. And so as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I wrote this book, Boy, Do You Look Stupid. And the reason why I call that is because I always knew that we looked stupid.
Hold on for a minute. Boy, did you look stupid. Meaning we Americans looked like idiots flying the flag after 9/11?
Oh, absolutely. I think I can give you an example, Phil.
Well, wait a minute. This was a show of...
Well, let me explain what I'm saying. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I've been around a little bit. I came out almost 4.5 weeks ago, and so I have been, I guess you could say I've climbed the mountain. Now, I was in Paris in October of 2001. I flew there for a series of interviews I was doing around a film shoot. And the conversations with most of the Europeans that I talked with boiled down to, well, what is it with you people over there and you're bellyaching about these towers? And I said, hey, don't look at me. You know, and we had a laugh about it, because on the news every night there'd be people crying, holding up pictures. And
I want to slow you down, Doug. What is funny about a family looking for their... I remember 9/11. People were looking for people in the rubble. People were trying to find family members. They didn't know where they were.
There was still... It was all panic. It was over the top. There are ways they could have gone to the police department. They could have... there would have been a missing persons report. But to stand on television in front of millions of Americans and make a spectacle out of yourself with a picture of your... Has anybody seen that? Yeah, that's right. I live in Topeka, Kansas, and I saw your brother from Brooklyn. Yeah, I know where he is. This is the kind of jackass I think a lot... And I say that with great love and respect for Americans and what they went through. But this is the kind of...
Well, when you use the word jackass, I don't think... you may have love and respect. I don't think that it reflects that way.
Well, let me finish.
I want to move on with some other questions here. You say in your book it was hard to stifle a laugh when you saw Bush climb that pile of rubble at Ground Zero and talk to the old guy with the bullhorn. What was that about?
Well, what I say in the book, if you read further, Phil, because you didn't... I say that Bush looked like Barney Fife. He looked a little ridiculous with that bullhorn, and who was that guy he was talking to? See, these are the moments of levity. And instead of laughing, we were standing around crying like babies, sitting down in the street and sobbing, not standing up like men and women, taking a look.
Well, what would have been a better reaction to the tragedy and the horror of 9/11 in your book?
What would have been?
Yeah, what would have been a more appropriate reaction?
You look at it on TV, you say that's bad, and you let the police get on with their work, you let the fire department get on with their work, you move on with your life, you don't dwell on it. You certainly don't. I mean, look now, Natalie Maines tried to tell us of the Dixie Chicks, Johnny Depp has tried to teach us. We look ridiculous. We look like it. And Ms. Streisand, I know, and Bill Maher. I had drinks with Bill Maher the other night. He's a very bright guy.
Well, you're talking about Bill Maher of HBO.
That's correct. And he and I have a cocktail occasionally. The other night we were over at Joe Paglioni's Cigar Club, and he's telling me how ridiculous this neighbor has looked. hanging an American flag, lighting candles, and crying. And Bill said he just about peed himself when he saw this, and he had to close the curtain so the guy wouldn't see him. And I mean,
there's nothing, to me, there's nothing funny about that.
That's because, Phil, you were one of the people that looked stupid.
Did you look stupid?
I beg your pardon?
Did you look stupid? Were you crying?
No, but I call the book, Boy, Did You Look Stupid. I knew all along. Yeah, it's bad. A lot of people died, what have you. Buildings fell down, what have you. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I can see past the immediate need to feel sorry for yourself, the immediate need to make a spectacle out of yourself, to beat your chest and go, oh, look at me, look at me. I saw those people in Miami do it right after Hurricane Andrew, all trying to find a TV camera and running up to it and crying. And then after the camera turns off, then they go back to playing checkers. And the other thing is, I didn't do it. See, that's the thing that I try to tell people in the book. We didn't cause it, so why are you crying? Wasn't my fault. So that's what we try to say, and there's a few other points we make in the book.
All right, Doug Danger is with us, the author of Boy, Did You Look Stupid, a journalist's review of 9/11 2 years past. And it's going to be available on hardback in a couple of weeks?
That is correct, yeah.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. With the two-year retrospective, I suppose, I know you say there's a lot of people who are ignoring the second anniversary of 9/11. You claim it's because that they're embarrassed, right?
That's correct. So what I'm basically saying is, tomorrow, the anniversary of 9/11, we're going to organize, try to organize anyway, a concert at the World Trade Center featuring some outstanding comics. George Lopez, we hope we can get him. We'd love to get Whoopi Goldberg. I can't think of two funnier people, by the way, than George Lopez and Whoopi Goldberg. And let's have some fun. And let's go down to the World Trade Center, take a look at that hole, and remember how ridiculous we were, especially last year, because I listened to your broadcast. And, Phil, I love you, but I've never heard anybody sound so sappy in my life. And
hold on for just a second here. I was at Ground Zero last year. It was a moving moment for me. It was a...
No, I don't deny it was not a moving moment. I'm just saying you sounded like an utter idiot.
You're telling me that my heartfelt and very real sadness looking...
It's called histrionics, Phil. It's called hamming it up. Have you ever heard how actors ham it up? You hammed it up, and the American people hammed it up. And as a result, on the Doug Danger gay scale, on the Doug Danger gay review scale, I give it a gay thumbs down, because I'm just telling you that...
What do you mean on the Doug Danger gay scale?
Now, I'm just saying, crocodile tears can get ratings. I understand that. Good for you. You cried crocodile tears. You got your audience.
Are you accusing me of hamming it up just to get ratings? Are you telling me that my feeling on 9/11 last year wasn't heartfelt?
Only you know in your heart, Phil.
I'm telling you that it was.
Fine, great. Are you going to admit it wasn't in front of your audience? I'm telling your audience right now that they're crying, and the American people are crying, because guys like Phil Hendry, David Letterman, Dan Rather, they all ham it up, and I mean, they just come right out there and lay an egg, and I'm just saying you sounded a little embarrassing. I respect you, but I was embarrassed for you.
All right, you know...
Please don't take it personally. The book is about a lot of different people.
All right, look, 9/11, tomorrow, you're hoping to put together a comedy concert where people can laugh again. Now, what is this in your local hometowns? What is this?
Well, I'm saying most people live in towns where there isn't a night. Obviously, there's no family member that died or something like that. But most towns do have a local 9/11 memorial of some kind. And I suggest you go down to the 9/11 memorial tomorrow, stare at it, think about what I'm trying to say here, how embarrassing and dumb you look, realize how funny the whole thing was, and act out. Start laughing. I'd suggest that a lot of people...
You want people standing around 9/11 memorials tomorrow howling with laughter? Are you...
No, Phil, again, you're hamming it up. See, you're starting to ham it up.
I'm not hamming up anything. I'm asking, do you...
Yeah, but you're fake indignation.
It's not fake. I want to ask you, are you expecting people to stand around 9/11 memorials tomorrow laughing their asses off?
I'm expecting people to, if they go out and pick my book up, and it'll be out in paperback in 2 weeks, they'll see just how silly they looked, riding around with flags coming off of their cars. I mean, I've never seen anybody look so stupid since the Lakers won the championship. They were doing that in downtown L.A. If you don't have a 9/11 memorial, teachers can bring pictures of the burning buildings into class. And it's haunted.
All right, hold on for just a minute. If those burning buildings had people jumping out of them, people leaping to their deaths, are you trying to say that that's funny?
No, I'm not, Phil. But what I'm saying is, the way we reacted to it was funny. Like, when that plane flew into the building, I heard a woman scream. Did you hear that on the videotape?
I most certainly did. It haunts me to this day. It haunts me to this day when that plane flew into that building and I heard two women scream. Yes, it haunts me.
It haunts you?
Yeah.
This is what I mean about you hamming it up.
You know, I'm not hamming up anything.
Well, I think you're saying this to make the audience think you're a sweetheart. I really do. And what I'm saying is that what you do is you watch that plane fly out of the building, and it just disappears. To me, it's one of the funniest things. Phil, remember when you used to wear those big flare pants in the 1970s, and you took yourself really seriously, and now you look at those pictures of yourself, and you laugh your ass off? That's how we should feel about 9/11. Look back, see 9/11 as just a big, baggy pair of bell-bottoms, and laugh.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger, the author of Boy, Did You Look Stupid. But you weren't embarrassing. You didn't look stupid. Everybody else did. Should we take this call or go to a break? Oh, we'll take the call here. This is Ornelia.
Hello?
Ornella, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you, Doug, about your book. I don't understand how you can figure that something like this is so funny. We've had two...
No, I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's
funny. Came down, people inside those buildings, children, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, I mean,
right.
Friends.
Right. I don't think the event was funny.
Hold on for a minute. Everybody hold
no
on. Hold on. Hold on for a minute. Jesus H. Can anybody hear anybody around here? What were you going to say, Doug? Are you there, Doug?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What?
I just want to say to the lady, I didn't say it. The event was funny. I said the book is called Boy, Did You Look Stupid, meaning the people looked funny.
Our reaction to it.
Yes.
All right, let me get back to Ornelia. Are you there, Ornelia?
And the people who
she
are...
She hasn't stopped talking. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It happens. Sometimes people don't hear us. Doug Danger's with us. The book is called Boy, Did You Look Stupid. You, meaning all of the American people, when you reacted in tears to the World Trade Center coming down, and you are suggesting memorials tomorrow to 9/11 be canceled in favor of comedy concerts?
Look, Phil, there's a real misunderstanding going on here, and I want to clear this up. I didn't think 9/11 was wrong.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. Sounds like you think people dying is funny.
I didn't say that. I said the people who are crying about it look funny. Okay? Now, you're purposely trying to twist my words.
It sounds to me like you said people flying out of buildings looked hilarious.
I never said that.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. Hold on for a minute. And then the guy's written a book called Boy, Did You Look Stupid, meaning when you drove around with your flags on your car, we all looked like idiots. And hey, you teachers out there, bring in pictures of the two burning buildings and with the kids and the people flying out of them, and you can all have a big laugh in class? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, I'd like to say to my engineer for a moment. Okay.
Phil, I'm right here.
I know you're there, Doug. Hold it. Can we kill that mute? I don't think the Entertainment Tonight theme is appropriate for what we're talking about.
It's your show, Phil, but I'm simply saying, as an entertainment writer, I wrote this book because I try to put an entertainment spin on 9/11, and...
Well, one of your chapters, Doug, I think is so far beyond the pale. You recommended that the parents of the students who were killed, and you say accidentally killed at Columbine.
That's correct.
Accidentally, huh?
Well, I think the whole thing was a big misunderstanding. Obviously, the whole thing at Columbine was a big misunderstanding.
You say that they should go to the site where those crosses are, that memorial of those kids, and have themselves a laugh.
I think what you do... Now, hold on for a minute, Phil.
No wonder people are confused. They think you think the whole thing was funny.
I don't think it's funny, and you're purposefully screwing it. I think that our reaction was funny. I think that people driving around, I saw a guy hanging a Union Jack out of his window, and people's flags and everything. I thought it was hysterical. And you're trying to make, I'm just saying we need to laugh at ourselves. Look in the mirror, remember what Robert Burns, the poet, said. To laugh at yourself is a great thing.
Yeah, okay, Robert Burns, the poet. Here is Danielle on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Danielle.
Hi. Just wanted to know how many people do you know that you have lost in the 9/11 tragedy?
You're asking me, ma'am?
Yes.
First of all, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
So right. That has nothing to do with 9/11. How many people do you know in your family that were killed in 9/11?
I don't need to know anybody. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I feel that everybody's family, which is something straight people can't feel.
That's ridiculous. You're not answering the question. Do you know anybody that was killed in 9/11?
Yes, I knew all of them.
You knew all of them?
Yes, as a gay man and as a gay...
Never mind about being gay. Did you know these people?
I feel like I knew them. I'm gay. You know that, right? Miss?
That has nothing to do with it. You're looking for an excuse.
Well, what's your point? I don't understand what your point is. I mean,
you wouldn't find it funny if it was one of your family members that was killed.
I'm just trying to have a laugh. I'm trying to have a couple of laughs here.
If anything, the thing with us riding around with flags in our car was something that we should be proud of. That makes me proud to be an American when I see people riding around with flags on their windows and with, you know, people all coming together to work as one and get this thing solved and resolved as quickly as they did. Do you realize, when was the last time you even visited the site? Have you been to the 9/11 site? Have you been to where the World Trade Center once stood?
No, I haven't been there, but
you
I
have
went
not
to,
even been there.
I know, but I went to the place where they are building the new Cleveland Browns Stadium, and it's very similar, I'm told.
Oh, they have,
what are you talking about?
Carmella from The Sopranos, just because you sound like her.
No, I'm from New York. I'm actually a New Yorker, and I lost plenty of people in that tragedy.
Everybody in New York lost friends or family or cousins, and for you to come on...
Phil, I have nothing but sensitivity and feeling for the people of New York. But isn't it time that we take a look back on 9/11 2001 and go ahead and let ourselves laugh because of all the silly things we did? I saw a guy standing there near a grave crying. It was hysterical.
And that's hysterical to you?
What do you mean standing
there
grave?
You are demented.
Well, wait a second. Don't you think that all those flags flying out of cars, all they did was show the world, hey, look at me, I'm so sad, look at me.
No, it showed the world that I am proud to be an American.
That's why people.
And if you're not proud to be an American, then maybe you should leave. Maybe you should find another country to go live in.
Danielle, do you know who Bill Maher is?
No, I have no idea, and I don't even want to.
Well,
I wouldn't even give this man a cent of my money to give to his property.
Well, he's a comic on CBS, and he's on at 8 o'clock or something like that. Anyway, he said to me, he saw a guy across the street lighting candles.
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to pee himself. It was so funny.
What the hell are you talking about, man? What's funny about that?
Well, I think the overreaction is what I'm saying, more than anything else.
Thought he was going to pee himself seeing people lighting candles.
When I see people light candles, I actually have a feeling in my heart. It makes me actually teary-eyed.
All right, then answer me this. How come nobody cares about the second anniversary? Yeah. Yeah, see?
Nobody cares about the second anniversary? Do you know that I already called my family members and made sure that I got to say my final goodbyes in case anything is to happen tomorrow? Because why do you think that whole blackout took place? Do you not realize that?
Listen, just tell them not to go in any high buildings. Everything's going to...
Oh, aren't you a funny...
Look, I'm a gay man. And I'm trying to let you two know that...
You know what? I'm friends with a lot of gay men, and something tells me that you don't even have a lover, because I can't even imagine a man wanting to be with you.
Well, I'm busy right now, but so that's why I don't have anybody in my life.
He's a prostitute, probably.
All right, listen, thank you, Danielle. How do you like that, Doug?
I'm gay.
All right. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Doug Danger with me. I don't want to play the entertainment tonight. I don't want to play that music, please, because I think what we're talking about is very serious. And
Phil, there's an agreement I have with the network.
Well, that's fine, but I don't want to play that music. And I want to ask you this question. How is it that you would recommend having a comedy concert at the World Trade Center site tomorrow featuring, in the list here of people you'd like to get, George Lopez, Whoopi Goldberg, and Sinbad? And we're supposed to laugh. How is it that you can't recognize...
Phil?
No, how is it you can't recognize the pain that people are expressing themselves with?
Phil, let me explain something to you. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. When I was about 12 at the time, I went to an air show in Fort Worth, Texas, which is where I'm from. And I went with a friend of mine named Johnny Manning. And there was a jet, an F-1 fighter jet, parked out on the tarmac at this air show. And they said you could get up into the jet cockpit and sit there and imagine what it's like to be a fighter pilot.
All right.
My friend Johnny got up in the cockpit. They told me later that there was an eject button, which is a standard in all of these jets so that a pilot can eject in the event of any kind of attack. Johnny hit the eject button. The seat ejected him up through the cockpit slider and about 90 feet in the air, and he hit the tarmac about 100 feet behind the jet. Now, it was tragic that he died, but you got to admit that's one funny way to go. And ever since then, now I'm gay, and I knew at the time when I was 11 that I wanted to be a gay man and a gay journalist, and I became a gay man and a gay journalist. And
okay, look, you're a young boy traumatized by seeing the death of a friend of yours. And
tell me that's not funny.
Tell you what?
Tell me that hitting the eject button and getting thrown out of a jet at an air show ain't a funny way to go.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Jeez, man, it's like pulling freaking teeth.
1-800. So what does that mean? So everybody dies is funny? Here is Patricia. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi. Is this Doug?
Yes, ma'am. Doug Danger. How are you?
I'd like to just ask, first of all, what does it have to do with being gay? What does this topic have to do with being gay?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter, though.
What does matter?
There's so many gay people out there listening that are laughing their asses off at you because that is such an absurd thing to say in a situation like that.
Well, are you gay?
I'm not, no.
Okay. See, ever since I saw Johnny lying out on the tarmac, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know that, right?
Yeah, you said it like 100 damn times.
Right, I've learned to take solace in tragedy because I can see things that straight people can't see.
Okay, but you know, can I just say one more thing? I know I don't have very much time.
You can take as much time as you want, because I love to talk to people about being gay and also about air shows.
Yeah, but is that the issue? Come on, like, be serious for a second.
I'm being very serious. My book.
Is that the topic of this show, though?
No, Doug, your being gay has nothing to do.
Well, let's get a load of the two straight people piling on.
I'm so sorry.
All right.
Wait
a minute. I just need to
know one thing from you, Doug.
Yes.
What is your idea of hamming it up? What is hamming it up to you? Because if somebody feels a human emotion and expresses it, that's hamming it up. What's the matter with you?
Why are you so afraid of death?
I'm not afraid of death.
Then have a laugh.
I'm on the highway right now.
Then have a laugh. Have a laugh. Go and take a look.
Death is not something that's really funny. Have you ever lost anybody close? I've lost my father.
Yes, I told you. I had a friend of mine.
My sister has killed herself. Like, that's suicide. That's somebody begging to go.
Wait a minute.
And that's something that you cry and cry about.
Wait a minute.
You don't want to...
Tell me that again. Now, who died in your family? What?
What's that?
Who died in your family? I didn't hear that.
My father and my sister, my eldest sister, she killed herself. My father died of cancer. You know, it's such a very common thing, but
you don't find that funny. Look, if you cry over 3,000 people that you don't even know, that's got to be funny.
You know what? I don't cry about them people per se. I cry about the situation that it is. It's a very sad situation when all these people are being killed.
You don't think it's funny that a kid gets ejected out of the cockpit of a jet at an air show? Come on.
I sure as shit don't.
Okay. I got to dump my Canadian friends. While you guys cited me for using the word WAP on the air, I got to tell you that we don't allow the S word or the F word here in the States. And now my headphones are out. So I need to have my engineer take a look at that. 1-800-449-8686. I got something wrong with the headphone set. And Doug Danger is on the line with us. Can you give me another one? Is that working? Okay. You'll bear with me, folks. Thanks. Just getting a new pair of cans here so I can hear what's going on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Doug Danger about his book, Boy, Did You Look Stupid, Memories of How Asinine Americans Looked on 9/11. You have said that your friend got ejected from a jet at an air show, and that was funny. You also mentioned that your father fell into a bailing machine when you were how old?
I was 15.
And that's funny?
I want to ask again, Phil.
Is that funny?
I think falling into a bailing machine is funny, yeah.
And I would propose that you were traumatized to the point, as a young person, that you have hysteria, and that...
Oh, well, excuse me, Dr. Freud. Now, you propose that I have hysteria.
Now, I think the laughter is blocking some deep sadness.
And I think your deep sadness is blocking the real emotion, which is you want to laugh your ass off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dominic, go ahead.
Phil, I agree with you 100%. You got no class, you're crossing the line, you're just being compassionate and showing their true feelings to that coward act that was demonstrated 2 years ago. You're just crossing the line. How can you say people are being ridiculous or looking ridiculous?
Are you kidding me? Do you guys in Canada fly flags all over the place? No. You want to know why? Because you got more sense than that. Down here in the States, we're wrapping ourselves in a flag every 5 minutes. We look like Ringling Brothers clowns. I'm gay.
That has nothing to do with it. Come on,
okay,
man.
Well, thanks a lot, Chuckles. It's been nice
funny.
Talking to you.
All right, listen. Here is Eric. Eric, go ahead. Eric, go ahead. Eric, gone. All right, let's go to Kurt. Kurt, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, good.
Yes,
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada also.
Jesus.
And when 9/11 happened, we actually, everybody at work also went home and
threw up.
Spent, you know, hugged our families quite tightly that day.
All right, that's something. That's not what I heard. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I heard.
I'm a straight man and a straight accountant. But that doesn't make any difference.
What's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with anything?
What's it got to do
with anything? We still feel a sense of loss for people that go to an office. There are people that go to work that have dangerous jobs that their families every day worry if they're going to come back that night.
I got to tell you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I heard that Canadians went home that day, 9/11/2001, to make it look like they were sad, but as soon as they closed the front door behind them, they were peeing themselves, laughing so...
I didn't hear anything of the sort.
That's what
not,
I heard.
Not at all.
That's what I heard. I heard...
Canadians were laughing their asses off, huh?
There was a number of Canadians that died, Italians, Portuguese, Indians,
The word in the States was that Canadians used 9/11 as an excuse to go home and slap a steak on a barbecue and suck a beer. Now,
that's absurd.
If I can make one more point, we have it's respect for the dead. There's sports teams. If they have a player that passes away, they wear black armbands. Is that being funny? It's out of respect. I can respect, you know, people showing flying the flag, the American flag, any flag, out of respect for the people that passed away. People go to funerals where...
Okay, let me ask you this. Don't you think it's funny that Wayne Gretzky went to L.A.? I thought that was hysterical. Up in Canada, everybody was crying about it.
Yeah, but...
Okay. You know, thank you very much. Doug, the book is called Boy, Did You Look Stupid, and there's a picture here standing you next to a bailing machine with a smile on your face. What's that supposed to be?
That's the one that my old man fell into.
Oh, that's just great. And I suppose this chalk outline on this runway, is that the kid?
That's Johnny Manning. That's the chalk outline.
Will you turn that off? 1-800-449-8686.
You see the Baylor twine through his pants right there?
That's fine. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR.
One 800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The voice of Doug Danger was performed by me. The people calling in were unprompted, unpumped, and unpaid. Unprompted, not pumped, and unpaid. And they thought Doug was a real guy. That's what we do in our show. That's our little contribution to society. And in a moment, I'm going to tell you how you can contribute to the show in a larger way. But first, I want to mention that tomorrow, 9/11, we're not going to have an anniversary show. We're not going to be on here doing more reviews of 9/11. That's what you're going to be hearing everywhere else. What we're going to do tomorrow is we're just going to simply replay our show from last year. Now, I'm not taking the day off. I'm going to be here. We're going to be popping in occasionally. But we wanted to play tomorrow the show that we did from 9/11 last year because it was great from the standpoint of hearing how you felt. And I suspect that some of you have forgotten. I suspect that some of us here in the broadcast business have forgotten. So why don't we just go back in time? 1 year ago, we were there. We were at Ground Zero. We were broadcasting from a studio on Wall Street. Then we went over to what the press called the hole, and we broadcast from there. And it was emotional, and it was beautiful, and it was all of those things in between. Tomorrow, you'll hear the whole show in its entirety from Ground Zero last year. Okay, it's time now. To walk down memory lane here on The Phil Hendry Show. This letter comes to us from Evan in Orlando, Florida. He says, Phil, I first became a fan of your show a little over a year ago when you did a bit in which Vernon Dozier was talking about how he'd tasered a guy in a karaoke lounge who was singing Sinatra songs because he thought the guy was being disrespectful. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard. However, you'll understand that statement when you realize that my father beats me nightly. And now he didn't say that. All right, now, is this Vernon Dozier in this bit, or is it Vernon? All right, here it is for you, Evan. Vernon Dozier from when? I need to have the dates written on here. It's a walk down memory lane. Where is it? Thank you. All right, here we go. It's November 2001 for this memory lane with Vernon Dozier.
This gentleman sounds like he is out of his mind. He's crazy, and he's in desperate need of some psychiatrist.
I had six Jacks and Cokes, all right? Mina?
Yes?
I had six Jacks and Cokes.
Jack Daniels and Coke?
Yes, sir.
Jack Daniel and Coke, okay.
I had six of them, yes, ma'am. I thought what I was hearing was the song My Way.
That's not the point. I'm not talking about that particular night. The way that you just have this unbelievable obsession about this song and the way that you're attacking
it. No, but you have to understand.
And the callers, I mean, you sound like you need to get a life.
I'm being attacked. Not the caller. I'm not attacking the callers. The callers are attacking me. You've said I sound insane.
I really mean this. You need to get a life.
Hey, let me ask you something. Did you do it your way?
No, there are a lot of sacrifices that I have tried to make.
At least you have been honest enough. At least you've been honest
enough.
But
at least
we gotta play this again.
I don't go around in bars, attack people because they're singing a song. You need help.
I need help because somebody is carving up My Way.
He wasn't singing My Way. Listen to this. Mina, listen to this. The old guy isn't singing My Way. Here's the recording of it.
I thought it was My
Way. Well, you're wrong. It wasn't My Way. It's some old 80-year-old man by the name of William Byerdale.
Well, I thought it was...
Just hold on.
Say you say...
That's gotta hurt!
I mean, there is no way that anybody can mistake this
exactly.
Or My Way. Sir, you...
All right, I blew it.
You blew it, all right. You need
go get it.
Hey, Mina, when you start doing
something useful to do.
And let me tell you, when you start doing it your way, you give me a call. Until then, I don't think you have a right to say anything.
Well, when you start doing it my way, means being obsessed with a measly song and attacking people in public
with a taser.
I hope I never do it my way.
This guy did it with a taser.
You hope you never do it your way. Oh. See, she thinks it's funny that an 85-year-old man got tased.
Well, you're the guy that did it, so...
I think it's pretty damn funny that you're just this nuts about a song.
I like Frank Sinatra. Are you from America?
Song.
I like Frank Sinatra. Everybody loves Frank Sinatra. And when you hear that song, this sounds like My Way, if you can...
No. Hey, Mina.
Yes.
Does that sound like My Way to you?
No.
Doesn't sound like my way.
No.
And then you tase this poor guy. Listen to this.
Please don't play it again.
I have to.
Say you say me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I tell you what,
freaking guy.
I have never, I like Frank Sinatra,
yes.
But I've never been that much of a fan.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to this song that often, but I can tell from the beginning, this is not my way.
For what a man, what is a man? What has he got?
I think,
if not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. I did it my way. Hello? Yes, ma'am.
You are crazy. You're nuts.
Okay, fine.
And you need mental help. Thank you, Phil, for your time.
Hey, Mina,
bye.
If you sing my way, I'll taste your goodie bag.
There it is, a walk down memory lane. Thanks a lot, Evan. By the way, Evan is 16 years of age. Why his parents let him listen to this show is anybody's guess. But he is in Orlando, Florida, where I started my radio career. Seems like 600 years ago. Okay, Mark, you can stop playing the organ. Now, our number's 1-800-449. Okay, now I just got this across my desk, and we will have to verify this before I announce this. It is verified. Ladies and gentlemen, all right, I'll just say it. The wedding between, as you heard, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez has been canceled. We just got word now as to the reason, and this has been released by, I think, his agent. Ben Affleck got the clap from Bill O'Reilly, and they have decided to postpone their engagement. Will you shut that off? Their engagement. Tough news. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Kobe, you better come back soon, man, because this LeBron James is selling tickets like you wouldn't believe, man. He is selling more tickets than a guy could sell women on a troop ship. LeBron James, you know the name? Well, you will. Drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, this kid is something else, baby, and the league is hyping him. The league is now, they are hanging their hat on LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. You can go pound sand someplace, pal. Oh, man, it goes from bad to worse for Bryant. He is not the enfant terrible of the league like everybody thought he was. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686.
In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can win a Tens of Beverly Hills Honolulu bowling shirt. And the Phil Hendry Show in 7 words or less contest is going ape, man. We got like 500 emails last night. We can't keep up with it. We're going to give it off. We're going to have to hire interns to read all of this swill that you, I mean, all of this stuff that you guys are sending us. And we'll tell you how you guys can be a part of it coming up on our show. Prosecutors prepping for a preliminary hearing in the Kobe Bryant rape case plan to present a videotaped interview with the alleged victim, photographs of the 19-year-old woman's injuries, and a taped statement from Bryant, much of which will corroborate the victim's hearsay statement and provide direct evidence to many of the elements of the offenses or of the prosecutor's charges. This glimpse into the government's case came today in a prosecution motion to quash a subpoena issued by Bryant's lawyers seeking the alleged victim's testimony at that October 9th hearing. The district attorney, Mark Hurlbut, argued that requiring the woman to appear at the preliminary would cause anxiety and intimidation to the victim, who has moved from Eagle, Colorado, and would have to travel one half day, which sounds to me like she's moved to Hawaii. She ain't. If you got to go like 6 hours, man, anywhere from Eagle, Colorado, you're in the middle of an ocean. She would have to travel one half day to get to the deal. Bryant has been charged with, well, you know what he's charged with. Bryant has been charged with being the dumbest Los Angeles Laker since, oh, I don't know, who do you like? Sven Nader? Kobe Bryant, he may be one sharp-shooting, hot-handed son of a gun, but this cat is the dumbest L.A. Laker since Henry Finkel. Since Leroy Ellis. Maybe since Rudy LaRusso. What do you fans think? This is sports crap. And in the meantime, as I mentioned, LeBron James is all the rage. You see, what happens is this. What happens is this. You're yesterday's news, sweetheart. You're yesterday's news. And your fans, Kobe, let me be the first guy who's ever been honest with you, maybe in your life. Maybe in your life. You probably have a great relationship with your parents, all right? I'll give you that. They've been honest with you. Beyond that, I don't think the Lakers have ever been honest with you, ever. I don't think your fans are honest with you, and I don't think the media's honest with you. I don't think your teammates are honest with you. Let me be the guy who's honest with you now for the first time. Me, Phil Henry. Kobe, I'm going to tell you something. All these fans you got, they will forget you ever existed once they drop your ass down a hole in prison. They'll forget you ever existed. That's the nature of fandom. Sure, they tell you that they love you. Sure, they tell you that they need you, can't live without you, that they'd have your firstborn. Yeah, they say a lot of things because you're hot. When you cease being hot, when you cease being the thing of the moment, then people don't know. They wouldn't want, they'll desert you like a warm bottle of beer, baby. They'll desert you like a cheesy mouse fart. And who's the new guy in town? LeBron James. Now, this kid plays for the Cavaliers. Dig this. Michael Jordan's gone. The NBA teams have already found a new number 23 to help them sell tickets. LeBron James, the appeal of the most hyped rookie in league history, has caused the majority of NBA teams to include games featuring the Cleveland Cavs in their ticket packages. Dig that. Hoping that the draw of the 18-year-old has already inked more than $110 million in endorsements from Nike, Upper Deck, and Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola? Wasn't that Kobe's account? Wasn't that Kobe's business? Oh, well, ain't that a freaking shame. Coca-Cola dropped you like a bad habit, man. You're fighting for your life. And I'm going to help you save it. Me. This big mouth. I ain't a sports talk host. I'm not a sports writer. I'm not some knee-sucking Laker fan, and I ain't some ass-kissing Laker executive. I'm just some guy on the radio, Kobe. But you know what? I'm going to take pity on you. I'm going to help you save your life. Here's what I recommend. Work out when you're in the joint every day, half court, just with just on a shooting motion. Just do that. Get yourself some guy who's already inside from the NBA. I don't know who that would be. Where's Connie Hawkins? I'm joking. Where's Spencer Haywood? Just remember this, Kobe, and seriously, they're going to dump you like a bad habit, just like they'll dump this LeBron James like he's nobody's, no one, like he's yesterday's news. Like, I can't even find the words. They'll dump him, too. And when's the last time anybody was shedding a tear over Michael Jordan, huh? When's the last time anybody was talking about Michael Jordan? Nobody gives, he ain't playing anymore, of course, but even when he came back, he was a big freaking yawn. You're a ball player. While they talk about you, while you're active, they talk about you like you're a young Greek god. Sure they do. That's why you think you are. But now that you're out of the game, now that you're out of the loop, you'll be out of the loop soon enough. Don't worry about it. They'll put you back in a Laker jersey. Then you're just another slob, man. You're just going to be another number on a T-shirt when you go inside. You're just going to be another number on a T-shirt. The Miami Heat are selling a four-game package, including the November 12th game against the Cavs, as the LeBron James plan. Holy geez. The Phoenix Suns website features a picture of James next to offers for a half-season, 15- and 10-game packages that include the team's October 30th matchup with Cleveland. The Nuggets are including their November 2nd showdown. Are the Mavericks in here? Where are you, Cuban? Ain't you got something going on? Or you think you guys are so hot, everybody's going to pour out and watch you guys play your crappy brand of basketball? Is that it? The game's going to be an easy sellout, said Paul Andrews, the Nuggets senior vice president of ticket sales. LeBron, along with now having Andre Miller and Carmelo, is going to drive our ticket packages to a level we haven't seen in 10 years. I'll be flying a private jet before you can say rape. Andrew said that the year's total for ticket package plans might surpass. Oh, my God, the NBA's never been in better shape. Never been. I can't figure it out. For the life of me, I can't figure it out. You want to know why? I've never liked basketball. Now, I've followed the Lakers off and on down through the years, and I think to watch a team that I'm emotionally involved with is a lot of fun. But as a sport, I think it's a redundant sport. Now, I know it takes a lot of physical skill to play it. I don't for one second doubt that. I understand there's a lot of amazing athletic plays, but I just find the rhythm redundant. And frankly, I don't relate to the players. I just don't relate to them. Oh, is that because you're white and they're black, Henry? Are you a racist piece of crap? No, my favorite sport happens to be pro football, and 75% of the National Football League players are black. So no, that's got nothing to do with that. Oh, is it because they wear helmets so you don't have to look at their big black faces? No. It's because football represents two of my favorite games. It represents and encapsulates two of my favorite games. One is chess, and the other is all-out warfare. I enjoy both, and I like to watch both. War movies and chess matches. And seriously, it's a chess game played by guys that will break your spine and leave you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. So I enjoy that. I like the science of the game. I like the strategy of the game. While they talk about baseball having strategy, I guess, but the average fan isn't going to follow it the way you can follow with football. So basketball, I don't get. And everybody falling over backwards for LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, every new cat, every new wind that blows out of a high school. Oh, God. Kobe Bryant. The NBA, man, they got to have the dumbest guys in the history of man on this planet, because I don't think there's a college graduate playing in that league anymore. All these guys are straight out of freaking junior high. This LeBron James is 6'10", and he came straight out of the fifth grade.
I want go poo.
Fine. Just dump in that three, okay?
Yes, sir. Whee!
Now take him to the bathroom, will you? It's like these child prodigies, you know? Have you ever read about these kids? The guy's like 5, and he can work out the mass, the square to the square inch, the air mass inside of a volleyball, right? Just by looking at it, but he can't wipe his own ass properly. It's the saddest thing you ever saw in your life. There's these kids, they send them to Harvard or MIT, they're 7, and they're able to, they can sit down and talk with any astrophysicist, they can sit down and contemplate the nature of black holes and quasars and things like that, and they're eating their own boogers. Same thing with this, you know, the NBA's got their version of it. They got guys coming out of kindergarten that are 6'10", and they're sinking 3-point shots from half court, and then they want a bologna sandwich and a hot dog with no bun. You know? You say, hey, LeBron, good ball game today, huh, baby? I want the crust cut off my bread. Okay, Jesus. I'll do it. Hey, listen, baby, good game. You're pumping in the threes, huh? What, don't eat your boogers. What do you do? Get out of here. Get the kid something to eat, will you? Can I get something to eat for the kid over here? Hey, LeBron, nice ball game. Benny Johnson from the Hartford Star. Listen, how you feeling, huh? You feeling okay? My forehead hurts. Your forehead hurts. You want an aspirin? You got a headache? I don't know what is that?
I want to take a nap.
All right. Guys, Eddie can't talk now because he has to take a nap. What are you talking about? I've been sitting in the bed. Come on, gentlemen. We'll get LeBron up here, but he needs to lay down and take his nap. And he has an upset stomach from eating too many apples. He was eating a lot of that ice cream, and he's got the runs now. He's got the squirts going on, so let him take his nap on the nap mat. Let me binky. All right, I'll get your blankie. Guys, just get out of the locker room. I got to get his binky for him.
Me want a binky.
What do you want now? You want to play with clay?
I want to play with clay, so I...
Oh. All right, get the clay for the kid, all right? Get his binky, get his nap mat, and get him some clay. And then let's go and watch some films after he takes his nap. Don't eat the paste. You don't eat the clay. Would you quit playing with your own anus and just get your hand out of your pants? All right, now let's get out on the court and let's hit some buckets, all right? All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Now, one little word, and then we're going to move on. And by the way, we have Bobby Dooley coming up on our show today from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, and we have Doug Danger on why he thinks 9/11 should be a time we could look back on our behavior in 2001 and laugh our rear ends off at how silly we looked. Now, the Phil Henry Show is a show that is in many ways inexplicable. I know many of you who are longtime listeners, and I've met you guys, will say, well, I try to explain the show to a friend of mine. I say, well, how do you do it? And it winds up being about three paragraphs. He's a guy, he does these funny voices, he gets people to call in, they think it's a real guy, and they argue, and it's really funny. I said, well, that's a little long. And I thought, well, maybe there's a way we can describe our show in seven words or less. Now, the winning seven words or less phrase is going to win a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt celebrating the opening of the new Honolulu store. It's a great shirt. It's a sage color, beautiful fabric, almost like a linen, with the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the back and on the left breast, and a great color, can wear it with anything. Class stuff, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling short, Honolulu store, bowling shirt, Honolulu store, if you are the winning phrase. So send it to Phil Henry Show, seven words or less. Send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. And again, that I want you to address that to the Phil Henry Show in seven words or less, and we'll do a drawing like a week from Friday. Speaking of Friday, we will be live for an hour in Salt Lake City with our friends at KALL Radio. And we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
My wife got me a book called The Greatest Sports Arguments of All Time, and she's a sweetheart. I mean, she thought that I would be interested in it. I'm really not. I'm not interested in arguments that are like this. Who do you think the better hitter is, Babe Ruth or Eric Davis or Barry Bonds? Who do you think the better hitter is, Babe Ruth or Mark McGwire? I don't care. I have a firm belief that it is most probably the player in the later era, because the athletes are stronger, better trained. You'd have to be an idiot not to understand that, for the most part, Barry Bonds is a better hitter and obviously the better athlete than Babe Ruth. Now, I don't want to insult anybody or offend anybody, because I know some people live and die and crap these arguments, man. They just, every day, they get out of bed and tell you that Joe DiMaggio... Actually, I think the greatest record in baseball is Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I think that's a phenomenal record. And I don't think... I don't know who's going to break it. I mean, Pete Rose came pretty damn close. But here's the story about history that I've often said to you. We look back on history very smugly. We sit here in 2003 and we say, well, if I lived in Nazi Germany, I wouldn't have taken any of Hitler's crap. Well, yes, you would have. There's a very good opportunity. There's a very good chance, in fact, that if you're a white Anglo-Saxon Christian listening to me right now, that you'd be a member of the Nazi Party. Why not? It was the easiest way to get along in business. It was the best way to make business contacts. Nobody was going to hassle you because you're Jewish. You could continue living your life. As long as you didn't get involved in politics, what do you care if a bunch of Jews get shipped off? You know, America lived in the same blind way toward the treatment of African Americans. It's true. Well, they live across the tracks. I don't know what's going on. Well, they're getting lynched. I am. What do you want from me? So that's why I'd like to introduce a new segment on our program, and it's called If Phil Lived In. And today it's If Phil Lived In the late 17th century Massachusetts. Now we take you to the late 17th century Massachusetts, and I am a pilgrim.
Mind your skirts there, Jessup. That's right, that's right. The colored will bring it in. Ah, it's great to be here in Massachusetts Colony. Now, I know the lesbians are acting funny. And we've had a lot of things going on. The cat went missing, and my wife's period lasted a week and a half. What's going on?
I think we may have witches. I don't know.
Witches? Yes. If you read your Bible, Satan comes in all shapes and sizes, can infiltrate, if you will, the homestead from all kinds of places. So these witches are bugging me, and we've got to find out what's going on. Well, go get them.
Yeah, what do you want?
Jesus, what a diesel dyke you are, man. Were you living at the end of the road down there? Look, what do you want?
Put the torch to her!
So later on, they burned all the... In other words, the Salem witch trials, they burned every lesbian in town. Now, go get the big gun. You mean the one that looks like it's got a bell at the end of it? Yeah, it's a blunderbuss, idiot. Just give the one with the bell at the end of it. Now, I'd like to get my big pilgrim hat. That's right, the one that makes me look like a real jackass. And, Jesus, what are you? Why, look, an Indian. One of the natives here. How are you? How am I? I was fine. What is with that? I got to tell you something, man. That hat's freaking me out. Get that thing off with that pilgrim hat. And what's that hanging over your shoulder? Why, this is a turkey. Jeez. Is it cook up good? Look, how do I loosen this collar? I can't breathe, man. I'd like to get some duds like yours, baby. You got those chaps with nothing on, no underwear? I like that. Mary Beth, fetch me a pie, wench. Later on, the town meets, and they meet up with me, Phil Henry, because I'm living back then. Now, I will tell you right now, as Phil Henry in the late 17th century, I'd be right there at the head of the witch burning, right there at the beginning of it.
Say, listen, I think a lot of this is just as a...
You think it's the lesbians? I think they're the witches. Now, what is it with you and that lisp?
Oh, nothing.
Okay. You ain't one of... No. All right. Now, the Salem witch trials have been called here, gentlemen, because we have had a lot of freaky things happening, and we got to burn a bunch of chicks at the stake. Now, any of you guys notice anything peculiar about your women? Anyone? Samuel? Yes, Samuel of East Kent. Samuel the Shoemaker. I do declare that you are, what is this, Gone with the Wind? I say rise. My woman the other day talked politics to me. Why that wench? Burn her at the stake. What about you, Eddie? Yeah, I was talking to my wife, and she knows how to fix the transmission on my Corvette, so,
She's a dyke. Go ahead, burn her.
All right, and what about the, my wife the other day, she made eyes at the pool boy.
Okay, she's a real flaming, bitch. Go ahead and burn her at the stake.
I say there, Phil.
Yes, Samuel.
My good wife, Lillian, seems to enjoy cutting her nails real, real short, and she's got that Mary Astor hand haircut, you know, and she hits a softball good.
What a butch dyke. Burn her. And so it was, the Salem witch trials essentially eliminated all lesbians from Massachusetts. This is If Phil Henry Lived in the Late 17th Century. Brought to you by Jensen's Hair Gel. If you're a woman, put this stuff on and you're a man. Also, Bob's Petroleum-Based Cowboy Boots.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The recording industry is, they're tracking down people that are file sharing. They're tracking down people that are downloading illegally. They may not have much of a future, as I said. The recording industry, in my opinion, along with most entertainment as we know it, is on its way out the door. But don't think that the entertainment business won't go down kicking and screaming. Kicking and screaming and grabbing and clawing for every last nickel, every last penny. Yes, I know you earned it. Yes, I know it's yours. But, unfortunately, there are now ways for individuals on computers to obtain the fruits of your labors for free as opposed to getting the money from them buying the CD. I don't know how I got it. I'm getting away with murder here, man. I got my radio show that most people listen to radio on the radio. Not a lot of people use the internet, I don't think, to listen, but a lot of people at work listen to us on the internet. We charge a streaming fee. We charge a fee to get on our site. We have had a lot of our stuff bootlegged. And when I say bootlegged, whatever, people have got clips of our show all over the place. All over the place. And what am I going to do? My stuff's all over that Kazaa. It was all over Napster. It was all over Morpheus. And it's all over. And we got to do something about it. Now, how do they do this? How are they doing this? How did they get that little girl in the Bronx? What was her name? That little Brianna girl. They got hit for two G's, okay? It's just a mother and a daughter living in a housing project. Now, yes, they're employed. They're not impoverished. But two grand is two grand. and they got hit for two G's, and you think the RIAA is crying any tears? No, they're not. They're saying, oh, you're taking my music? Well, yes, sir, but I'm just a teenage girl in the Bronx. Uh-huh, yeah, that's nice. $2,000, baby. They don't care, man. They don't care. And you could be next. How are they doing it? Well, the recording, what does this thing RIAA stand for anyway? The Association of Ass something. RIAA's latest court papers described in unprecedented detail their forensic techniques, which is their investigative techniques as to how you and 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 everybody out there listening to me are downloading the music. Recording Industry Association of America. The industry disclosed its use of a library of digital fingerprints called hashes that it said can uniquely identify MP3 music files that had been traded on the Napster service as far back as May 2000. Examining hashes is commonly used by the FBI and other computer investigators in hacker cases. Now, I would imagine that these hashes identify single computers, correct? By comparing the fingerprints of music files on a person's computer against its library, the RIAA believes it can determine in some cases whether someone recorded a song from a legally purchased CD or downloaded it from someone else, called file sharing, over the internet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Microsoft's network, not more than 2 hours ago, had an article called how they're doing it, how you can prevent them. What was it called, Jan? If it's something like file swapping, how to get caught file swapping, how you're going to get caught file swapping. They had an article. Guess what? It ain't there anymore. They took it down. Probably somebody from the RIAA called them and said, look, you know what? I don't want to threaten a lawsuit or anything, but we're going to go after you too, Microsoft. What do you think of that? This is the death rattle of the recording business, the death rattle. And like I said, they're going to go down clawing like a drowning man. Have you ever tried to jump into the water with somebody that doesn't know how to swim? Let me tell you what, it ain't fun. You see somebody struggling, and the first thing they do is they grab a hold of you and they won't let go, Jim, and they'll drown two people. So you have to, it's like, I'm serious. So the recording business in this country is like a drowning man, and they're going to take anybody they can with them. The recording industry also disclosed that it is examining so-called metadata tags, metadata, hidden snippets of information embedded within many MP3 music files. In this case, lawyers wrote they found evidence that others had recorded the music files and that some songs had been downloaded from known pirate websites. Now, the industry has won approval for more than 1,300 subpoenas, compelling internet providers to identify computer users suspected of illegally sharing music files on the internet. They are not backing down. They're going full speed ahead. And there is a very high likelihood, if you are a file sharer, that you're going to get caught. Now, what does all of this mean? Why am I sharing this with you? What do I give a crap? I don't give a crap. First of all, I'm an old-fashioned bastard. I go out and I buy my CDs like a dumbass. That's number one. My kids are going to go to prison before I do. In fact, RIAA, I'd like you to know that my son Alex, oh man, he's burning a CD for me right now. But I ain't got no money. You can get it out of his college fund, though. Also, my son Chris and my son Nick, these guys are thieving thousands of dollars away from you. I just wanted you to know, sir, it's not my fault. Thank you. My son Nick had the new Linkin Park CD, and I went out and bought it, sir. Even though when I got into Nick's car to drive his car to the store the other day, he had it, and it was burned off the computer, sir. But I didn't do that, sir. I went out and I bought the Linkin Park CD, sir. Now, watch this. Secret Service trailing me home tonight.
Hi, what's your day?
Well, wait a second.
Okay, let's come inside.
Now, here's the thing. Why do I give a crap? I don't care. You could all go to prison as far as I'm concerned. What do I care? Not that I don't love and respect you, but hey, you know, it's every man for himself out here, baby. You guys get burned in prison. That's my, you know, you're going to drop the soap, Jim. It's all your own fault. But let me just say this, okay? What are you, some kind of an idiot? When you get on the internet, people, we already know you can be tagged and trapped. Your computer comes up. You're snagged by spammers. You're snagged by porn sites. There's all kinds of ways of identifying your individual computer for a variety of reasons. And I think we've been in denial about this. Especially you people out there who bitch about intrusive government. Really? How come you have a computer then? That's like a canary bitching about a cat after he's fallen out of his cage, right? Just laying out, what is it with the cats you got around here? Well, it doesn't make any difference because you're just about to become a blue plate special. So what difference does it make, you dumbass parakeet? So if I were you and you got a computer and you do a lot of web surfing and you do a lot of fantasy football and you do a lot of this nonsense, then don't act with the big bug-eyed innocent look when some is the I did the F word again. I did the F word. Chris loves it when I when Chris Pelton, my associate producer, loves it when Mark Newman, our engineer, has to dump me because I let out with the F bomb. Unreal. All right, let me start that all over again. Don't look surprised when the guys with the funny-looking earpieces come laying a subpoena on you and get back into that pale blue car with the weird-looking antenna on the back, you know, and no white wall tires, just the black wall tires. Yeah, you know the ones I'm talking about. And they got that searchlight on the front. What's that all about? So if you have a computer, you are up for grabs, baby. You're twisting in the wind like everybody else. What, are you crazy? What did you think was going to happen? What do you think you're all, everything's, yeah, that's right, you're Norton antivirus. Get all the firewalls you want, Charlie. It ain't going to help. It ain't going to help. This is like television, only there's far more information that's traveling along the fiber optics and the cables. There's far more stuff coming into your computer than could ever possibly be processed by your television set. Because you're sending out as well as receiving. You are creating as well as receiving the creations of others. And so there's far more likelihood that the information coming into your home and going out can be monitored. And yes, it starts out in a very innocuous way. I mean, we had 9/11. It's very important that we secure our country. And to that end, I think that we ought to be able to listen into somebody's telephone conversations and, yeah, tap into their computer communications. And if you don't dig it, if you're not down with that, if you think it's 1984 and it's fascist and it's everything else, tell you what, take your computer and throw it in a pool. And if you don't have a pool, man, like down a cliff will do. And if you don't have a cliff nearby, running over with your car ain't bad either. And just remember, when we, get that blunderbuss out and my wife Mary Beth breaks out the pie, all those women across the river that don't enjoy the affections of men, we're going to burn them at the stake. I just didn't have my history music here. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Our website is PHS. Our website is philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop. Buy many things. And if you buy a CD, all the money goes to charity. The rest of it, frankly, goes to us. And am I ashamed of that? In a way, I am. But in another way, why should I be ashamed of making a living? In any event, we've got some great souvenirs there. We have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, both the Honolulu and the original shirt. We have a Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron. We are going to have very soon Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue utensils that come in a beautiful, wood-carved box. Fantastic. We also have the Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. We have the Phil Hendry Show shot glasses, Phil Hendry Show t-shirts, Phil Hendry Show hats. We have the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball caps, pouch jackets, belt watches, and travel mugs. And then the Bobby Dooley, and Bobby will be coming up here very shortly, the Bobby Dooley Western Estates Homeowners Association polo shirts, spa robes, and tote bags. So you can never go wrong at our souvenir shop. That's the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. Okay, you know, I don't know how many of you guys, my wife handles the dough at our house. And some guys think that that's good. Some guys don't like it. I don't know what to think about it. Because, quite frankly, she could steal everything I got. She can steal it all. And, of course, the minute you bring it up, oh, you don't trust me, huh? You don't, no, that's not I don't trust you. I just, you know, I mean, you got everything there. I mean, you got the kids, we got a college fund for the kids, we got a retirement, we got a little bit of a savings account. I got a checking account, she's got a checking account. And on top of everything else, she could just squirrel away a couple of bucks here and a couple of bucks there, and the next thing you know, I'm on my ass if she ever decided to leave. The leading cause of divorce in America is disagreement over money. And I don't care how much you love and respect and so-called trust someone, I think you're an idiot to trust somebody 1,000,000,000%. I can't imagine love coming with that much trust. Love and commitment comes over time. It does not happen at once. That's lesson number one from Uncle Phil. If you think you're going to get hit with a love bug, baby, and you're going to be just all goo-goo and gaga in 24 hours, and you just love Charlie like you've never loved a guy before, I got big news for you. It happens over time. It develops. It is a slow process, but an inexorable one nonetheless. And it's a beautiful thing. But you got to work everything out, man. And money is one of the things you got to work out. Now, these clowns that find out that she left with Charlie Jr. And Charletta Jr., and she left you with a moth flying out of your wallet, pal, you got nobody but yourself to blame. You're going to open up that safety deposit box down there at the bank, and a freaking moth flies out of there, and you just, like, blow dust out of it. It's gone. Now, a lot of people say you ought to keep an account. If you think you're going to have a divorce, you should keep your money. You ought to start separating your dough out. Now, I personally think that's going too far. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. So many people have no idea what love and commitment and relationship is. When it comes to that stuff, we have been warped and twisted beyond reason. We have been completely and utterly crippled beyond reason. I mean, marriages don't last anymore because people are too stupid to understand what a marriage is or a relationship is. People can't fall in love any longer without, they think that it's, oh, gee, I wonder why he left me for that girl with the larger breasts and a bigger ass. He told me that I was beautiful. Yeah, I bet she told you the diamond ring was diamond, too. And then you took it down to the pawn shop and found out it was cut glass. Dummy. We have so much in common. Look, just understand something, you know? This stuff comes in time. And it's perfectly normal for when she says to you, like when my wife said to me, I'd like to take over the bills now. And I'm like, well, oh, you mean you don't trust me? Wait a minute, don't go there now, okay? That's not fair. Well, then what is it? I'm taking over the bills. I mean, yeah, and I'd like to have your check deposited directly into my account. No, I don't want to do it. Then you don't trust me. It's not that I don't trust you, and I don't think it's fair for you to go there, but I don't want to do that. Not right now. Just give me a couple of, well, all right, when you're ready. So what do I find out today? Well, I got a lien on my credit because, what was this about? Some stupid thing, some late payment on a car. It's something bigger than that. And I can't say anything to her. What am I going to say? I'm going to say, what did you do? Look at this. There's a freaking lien on my credit, man. Well, okay, I slipped up once. Oh, okay, great, I slipped up once. Like I slept with your best friend just once. Well, I'm doing the best that I can, you know. Okay, now let's break out the tears now. Now I feel like a real ass. I worked you know how my credit was 10 years ago? I couldn't get credit. I couldn't get credit to put a down payment on a freaking gumball. I couldn't get credit to put a down payment on a bowl of Norm's chili. And I struggled, and I sweated, and I slaved, and I got my credit back. and I hired attorneys, and I did that whole credit cleanup thing. And hey, by the way, you sending a letter to Equifax or TransUnion or TRW, and you think they're going to drop that lien because you've shown proof that it's no longer applicable? Ha 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 ha. Think again. They'll take their sweet time, man. They will take their sweet time. Hey, man, I thought I sent you guys the fax or the email that you shouldn't have that lien on my credit any longer because I already sent you the, we didn't get around to that just yet. You guys hold my life in your hands. You guys at TRW better get on the stick. Same thing with you guys at Equifax or whatever the hell company is doing it now. Half of you slobs go out of business every 6 months, and you take all of that in. Billions and billions and billions of units of information that you guys couldn't possibly process correctly, and you got our rear ends in your hands. Thank you very much. So that's why I've decided to quit my job and let my wife make all of the money. She can steal from herself now. I'm joking, honey. I know you haven't done anything. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next, Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association on her son, Seth, who felt he had a washboard stomach, a real six-pack, and he challenged one of the kids on the football team to go ahead and punch him in the stomach as hard as he could. He figured the kid was the place kicker, so what could be the harm? The kid did, tore an abdominal muscle, fractured two ribs, and poor Seth puked all over the locker room floor, then slipped on his own vomit, and Bobby wants a criminal check done on this place kicker's parents. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
In part 11 of our 18-part series on returning to school, Bobby Dooley is a president of a parent-teacher organization in Western Estates, California, and also the head of a group called Parents to Stop the Violence. Tell us about your organization and what you are doing differently to stop violence on campus, Ms. Dooley.
So we believe that violence on campus is out of control. We don't think we've learned anything from Columbine and what happened there. And I can give a very personal proof of that, which is what I told reporters yesterday. My own son has been victimized. It happened on our campus. It was late last week, as recently as last week. My son is a member of the varsity football team, and they were in their locker room. They were doing weight training. My son is a defensive lineman. He works out with weights. He has a very strong stomach. He's what the kids call, they have a six-pack or a washboard stomach.
I'm familiar, yeah.
And so he said to one of the other kids, and keep in mind that my son is very respected around school. The other mothers, I have to tell you, have been cute. They've sort of fanned their brows when they see my son Seth walk by because they say he is I don't want to say sexy because obviously they're older women, but they do take note of how he can't arouse them.
All right, fine, but you're saying that your son is good-looking and he's very hard-bodied.
He is, and he has the respect of other students. I think it's humorous. I heard from one of the mothers, Seth forced one of the freshmen to carry his lunch tray for him. The kids will give up their seats to him at lunch. So they do know that when they see my son coming, he gets a lot of respect. So they were fooling around in the locker room.
All right. Now, your son is in the locker room with these other kids?
Yes. And Seth said to one of the other players, "I've got a very strong stomach. Take your best shot." And what that means is you can...
No, I know what it means. Take a punch.
Yes. To punch him. And the other boy was afraid of Seth because he's so big. And the kids are intimidated, and Seth said, "No, go ahead and hit me," because he wanted to show the other players that the abdominal exercises he does, which are the new interval training abdominal crunches used by the United States Marine Corps, which my son is the only one who uses, by the way, and he told Coach Miller about them.
All right, that's fine.
So he said, "Go ahead, take your best shot, the best." The other boy again said no, and here my son is trying to show the other boys how to get a good abdomen. He was only trying to help, So in order to get the boy to hit his stomach, he called him, and I think it's understandable in that situation, a fag, and I told the school administrators this.
All right, your son then, to get this boy to punch him in the stomach, called him a fag?
I told the principal this. This is all in the record, and it's all understood. So this boy, his name is Johnny Lockwood, he hit my Seth in the stomach. The doctor tells me he tore one of my son's abdominal muscles. He cracked a rib.
By my wife's.
Okay, is that Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, she...
Do you need to take some time, ma'am? We're talking with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of a homeowner or a parent-teacher organization. Her son was hit in the stomach after asking a kid to hit him in the stomach because he felt he had strong stomach muscles. Are you there?
Yes.
All right, so your son had... This kid punched him in the stomach and tore an abdominal muscle, cracked a couple of ribs, and what else?
Apparently, my Seth was doubled over, and he had sick. He made sick on the floor, and then when he tried to get up, he slipped on his own vomit, and the children laughed at him, and the entire experience frightened him so much that he then made mess. It also...
When you say that he made mess,
he lost control of his bowels.
All right.
It also damaged his reputation around school because he was considered formidable. A lot of the girls are no longer coming by his table at lunch, and his girlfriend, who is a young lady by the name of Janice Culpepper, even made a remark, and my son understandably slapped her, and I don't blame him.
Wait. Now he's slapping...
She is his girlfriend, and I will tell you, I was in a panic. You have to understand...
He slapped his girlfriend.
You don't make fun of a boy who takes you on dates in a Porsche Carrera, who tries to treat you like a gentleman.
And all right, let me get the whole thing. So you want parents' background criminals, their criminal background checked. Why do you want the parents of these kids' criminal background checked? This boy was only doing what your son asked.
I want the criminal background of every single parent in the school checked and delivered to my desk as a parent-teacher organization president. I think it's at a...
Why not to the administration?
Because I think it is a very good halfway measure that I see it. Not the administration, so it doesn't become official. But when this boy hit my Seth, and I can only imagine the animals that raised him...
Do you see, Ms. Dooley, the fact that this kid was asked to punch your son in the stomach? He was told, your son asked for it, your son challenged, he called him a fag.
My son was only fooling around, and that's the thing you don't get. He just wanted to show the boys his stomach, and my son winds up vomiting in front of everyone. He was humiliated.
What don't I get? I mean...
He just was fooling around. And this young boy, whose mother, and I did have, by the way, the background run on her film, and I have information.
I don't know that I want that information on my air, but I got to give our phone number out. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think the criminal backgrounds of certain parents be checked into when their kids act violently in school? Bobby Dooley is with us. She's from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She is a Western Estate Homeowners Association Parent Teacher Organization president. And you feel the kid that punched your stomach obviously comes from a bad home.
Absolutely.
All right. You say you went ahead and had a criminal background check done on this kid's mother. This boy's name is what?
Johnny Lockwood.
All right. So now I'm told by my producer that I shouldn't have mentioned the kid's name. So let's not mention the name any longer.
All right. But remember that...
Well, let's just back up. Your son calls this kid a fag, so he punches your son in the stomach, rips a couple of muscles, etc. You went out and did what?
My son was fooling around. You have to understand, Mr. Henry, because of this injury, he has lost his chance to audition for the senior musical. He's very angry. I am very proactive. I called the mother, this Lockwood woman. I told her in no uncertain terms that I thought her son was a criminal and had a behavioral problem. She told me, and I am reading from my notes now, she told me to go to hell. She also said I have, let me see. She said that her son wasn't a fag. She said my husband, Steve, was a faggot. Let me tell you something. That's all a Dooley needs.
All right, so this woman called your husband a faggot.
Yes.
All right, what did you do, Ms. Dooley? You obtained the criminal records of these people?
Yes, I did. As the PTO president, I put in a request for the criminal and medical records of the parents. And I thought there was a problem and an indication of criminal predisposition. I have been able to determine, and I can tell you now that Karen Lockwood had an abortion when she was 17.
I don't know whether this is something we could say on the air.
Well, I have this as a matter of medical and criminal background.
You had a medical and criminal check done?
Yes. Karen Lockwood had an abortion when she was 17. So this Johnny character has obviously had an older sibling. The husband was part of some campus organization, did not go to Vietnam. There is every indication he went to Canada. So this is what happens when you punch my son's stomach.
Ms. Dooley, is there a difference between a child being brutalized on campus by a bully and a child standing in a locker room and telling a kid to take his best shot?
There is no difference.
There is no difference?
No.
Your son said, take your best shot on my stomach. The kid's a place kicker. Could it be that your son, a defensive lineman, is embarrassed that a place kicker hit him in the stomach and doubled him over to the point where he puked?
Again, let's stick to the point, okay?
Don't you think your son's embarrassed?
No, I don't. I think my son was embarrassed by an animal. An animal. And my son, first of all, when you're the girlfriend, you don't make crude comments.
Here you have a son, Ms. Dooley, who kids move off the lunch table when he walks up. He has freshmen carry his lunch tray, and when his girlfriend made an intemperate remark, he slapped her. He sounds like the campus bully.
He's the campus bully? Then why is he laying in a bed right now with a torn abdominal muscle? I want the criminal records. Your opinion doesn't matter. I have no problem in allowing this information to become public.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stopping violence on campus is the mission of this organization. But this boy, her son, Seth Dooley, apparently asked another kid to slug him in the stomach. The kid did, and caused this kid to puke. He slapped his girlfriend when she made an intemperate comment. Is this kid the victim of campus violence, number one? And number two, do you think that it is time now to get the criminal and medical backgrounds of the parents of these students into the hands of PTO presidents so they can determine who has the right to be in these schools? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, you say that this woman, Ms. Lockwood, which, by the way, I'm advised, I don't want any more information from this woman's medical record.
Well, Phil, you have to understand that not only did her son hit my stomach, she called me a butch dyke. She said my husband was a faggot. She
treated you rudely, then.
Yes, she did.
But again, you want a criminal and medical background check done on this woman because her son slugged your son in the stomach. And what did she calls your husband? This is all very juvenile.
She called my husband, and I have the notes, and it is juvenile. She said he was a fudge packer. She said that he was...
All right, now, we don't have to have all of this. I mean, the fact is that the boy slugged your son's stomach. Can you have him prosecuted?
Well, absolutely. We're going to... The police took a report. They said there wasn't a lot that they could do because Seth asked for it. But I think there is. He's underage. He doesn't know what he's asking. Okay? So...
Well, I don't know. The kid says he's got a six-pack and a washboard stomach, and they're doing weight training, and so the kid belts him in the stomach and makes him puke. Sounds to me like he asked for it. 1-800-449-8686. Lori, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley of the Western States PTO. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say to the woman that's on the phone that, number one, I disagree with the fact that, you know, an officer or a president of a school board or, well, not a school board, but a committee for the school should have no type of records. number one, medical records are strictly confidential.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a copy of a person's medical records without them signing a release of information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And number two, the medical record or the criminal records, that stuff should be given to someone
mm-hmm.
who's in authority, who is an employee
mm-hmm.
of an institution, someone
mm-hmm.
that has some credibility to have that type of information.
Mm-hmm. Lori, your name is Lori? I'm sorry.
Yes, my name is
yeah.
Lori.
Lori, it turns out that the Lockwood woman, Karen Lockwood, had an abortion in Mexico. This is not very hygienic. It's also, it raises some red flags.
Well, wait a minute. You didn't hear what the lady said. The medical records of...
No, I heard what she said, and I think she's making some very, very good points. But their son isn't the only child they tried to have. You're aware of that.
Well, that's what you say, but
Lori,
myself, having the medical background, I know
an abortion.
That you cannot
get
that information. And then if she had it in another country,
mm-hmm.
there's no real proof that it was her. But
and
that's beside the point.
Even though she had this abortion, her husband was part of an off-campus organization during the Vietnam War that could have had ties to communist cells in the New York City area. Okay.
But again, those are accusations.
Okay.
You know, when you say you could have, that means that you think that's possible.
Right. I mean,
but there's no proof. Those are accusations.
Well, what about the animal they have for a son who caused my son to vomit and slip in his own vomit?
Yeah, I'm terribly sorry that that happened to your son.
Thank you.
But
thank
again,
you.
I don't think it's fair to call this child an animal because your son asked him
an animal.
All right, Mr. Dooley, we heard you. Lori, thank you very much for your call. We'll move on. 1-800-449-8686. Very nice lady and very polite in not answering her questions.
I beg your pardon?
You didn't answer the woman's questions. You were talking about the abortion that this Lockwood woman apparently had, and she was addressing some very legal problems.
Oh, you know, I really love it, Phil, when some of you people in the media pretend that you are Phil Donahoe or some of these individuals. I said to the lady that we do have the right to look at the woman had an abortion. A vacuum hose was shoved up.
All right, I know what an abortion is. Here is Carol. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to ask the mother a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mother of four.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son, and
mm-hmm.
I know bullies,
mm-hmm.
and I know mama boys.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if the son, the, your
mm-hmm.
son instigated
mm-hmm.
this situation,
mm-hmm.
correct?
I'm sorry?
Your son instigated the situation in asking to be hit.
No,
what I
no, he
know
didn't
is,
instigate it. He asked to be hit. But
that's right.
The instigation.
But I want to know one thing.
I think
when
that,
the boy hit him,
mm-hmm.
if it hadn't have hurt him in any way, what would you do? What would you be doing if your son had been able to withstand the punch that he asked for? What would you be doing today?
I don't understand.
Basically, if the boy, your son asked to be hit, the
yeah.
he finally instigated it to where he caused anger in another young man to hit him. And when the other young man hit him,
right.
if your son had not been hurt,
right. uh-huh.
if he had been able to withstand the hit,
right.
what would you be doing today?
Exactly.
Would you not be bragging how strong he was?
See? So when she got upset with me, and she called my husband a faggot.
No, you're not answering my question,
ma'am. Are you
ma'am?
Hearing what the lady's question? Listen to her question.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to my question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When your son
mm-hmm.
asked to be hit,
mm-hmm.
the young man, your words
mm-hmm.
were, was afraid of it
mm-hmm.
and didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He finally
mm-hmm.
humiliated the other boy,
mm-hmm.
calling
mm-hmm.
him names
mm-hmm.
as a bully does,
mm-hmm.
and the young man hit him.
Mm-hmm.
When he hit him, if...
Mm-hmm.
Your son had not
mm-hmm.
been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been able
mm-hmm.
to withstand this blow that he asked for,
mm-hmm. yeah.
what would you be doing today? Bragging
right.
about how
mm-hmm.
strong your son are, correct?
You know, I don't know, but we did see the medical files.
No,
he
won't answer the question.
You have to answer the lady's question. How would you feel if your son had taken this shot from the other kid and was not hurt in the process?
Well, that really is what happened. He wasn't hurt.
Wait a minute.
You said he was hurt.
You said he had torn abdominal muscles, cracked ribs, and vomit.
Well, he was injured. But what happened was...
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Answer my question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? What's your question?
The lady asked it three times. What would you do if your son had been hit? Now I don't even know what the question is. Carol, go ahead.
When the young man hit him, and he had been able to withstand it.
Yeah, I want some tuna fish, too.
Are you listening to the lady, ma'am?
I'm sorry?
Are you listening to the lady?
Yes, go ahead.
Ma'am?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
If your son had been able to withstand the hit, and he hadn't been hurt or injured, and had laughed and walked away, what would you be doing today?
Exactly. So what we did is I went to the Western States Sheriff's Office.
No. Your son had not been hurt, what would you be doing today?
Well, does your son have a washboard stomach, I think is the first question I'd ask.
No.
Are you?
You're avoiding the issue.
What did I do?
What, are you stupid or something? The lady...
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare me? Give it to her again, Carol. What's the... If your son...
Uh-oh. Okay, ma'am, would you listen to me very closely and carefully? Your son went in the locker room, and mm-hmm. he challenged a young man. No one's ever come up with what size the young man was compared to your son.
Right.
But he challenged him twice, over and over. So he, and then he finally used you.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The organization is called Parents Against Campus Violence. Bobby Dooley, president of the Western States PTO. Now, you have information on this boy who your son challenged to slug him in the stomach, and he did, and your son's stomach wasn't as strong as he thought it was, and your son was doubled over. Now you're going and doing background checks on the parents. There is question as to the legality of this, Ms. Dooley.
Mr. Henry, I want to mention also my attorney is certainly apprised of these activities. We did have a criminal and a criminal and medical background check done. We also had a credit check done on these parents. If their animal of a son is going to...
You had an economic... In other words, you got their credit report?
Yes, I did. They have a revolving account at Broadway. They owe $5,000 there. They have... they owe at least $70,000 in one of their cars.
I don't need to know their financial information. Your son said, go ahead and hit me in the stomach. The kid did, and he cracked your son's ribs. Your son doesn't have a stomach that is...
Can I finish, please?
Your son doesn't...
Can I finish, please?
Go ahead.
My husband had followed the daughter. The daughter's name is Denise Lockwood. We wanted to get some idea as to the activity of this family beyond just their home. He followed her to a gymnastics class. He left the gymnastics class and was pulled over by the Los Angeles... And I'd like to make this point clear. He was pulled over by Los Angeles County Sheriff, pulled out of his car and forced to spread on the ground. The police took the leotard that my husband had in the front seat. They said,
what was your husband doing with the leotard?
This was the Denise Lockwood's leotard. He had taken it out of her locker.
What's he doing with her leotard?
I told you we are getting evidence on this animal that put my son in the emergency room.
And so your husband's cruising around in his Corvette with a girl's leotard in his front seat.
You know, you haven't heard one thing I've said, have you?
No, I've heard it all. 1-800-449-8686. Karen, go ahead. Karen, go ahead.
I'd like to say a little bit...
Or Kathy. I'm sorry, Kathy.
At this time, I'd like to say...
No, I want to get the caller on, please. Kathy, go ahead.
Okay. I want to know, as a PTA president,
mm-hmm.
what gives you the right to run background checks
mm-hmm.
on parents?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What gives you that right? A PTA
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
a parent-teacher association.
Well, we are a parent-teacher organization.
If you... Mm-hmm. Did you go in front of your board and
mm-hmm.
the teachers of that district and
mm-hmm.
ask if you could do this?
I asked them to authorize me to get...
And did they?
Mm-hmm.
Did they authorize you?
They were reluctant to.
Well, I would say so, because you know what, lady?
I used executive
privilege. Your husband is a stalker, and your weenie son is an abuser with females. And every female in the city you live in needs to be aware that your son abuses females.
Wait a second.
And he will always... If he slapped one female... He will slap another one.
Yeah, now, I want to get this. Your son...
Wait a minute. We're talking about my son being abusive. My son's the victim.
Your son was not abused.
He was the victim here.
No, he was not the victim.
Is this true?
Whether he was a victim or not doesn't give you the right, as a PTA president,
mm-hmm.
to run checks mm-hmm. on parents.
Can I ask a question? Is this RuPaul? I'm wondering...
All right. Ms. Dooley, you can make jokes.
I thought...
You can make all the jokes you want. But the question here is why your son slapped his girlfriend.
She made a joke about him slipping on his own vomit.
Well, I would have too. But he slapped her? That gave him a reason to slap a female?
My son is...
Do you get beat by your husband?
You know,
do you get beat by your husband?
No, he never
beat me. Okay, then where is he getting that he can slap a female?
When I am out of line.
When he...
I will get... some conditioning from my husband.
Are you kidding me?
We do not call it...
Wait a minute, Ms. Dooley, this is wrong.
Excuse me, I'm not one of these liberal women. I'm very conservative.
I am not liberal either, but I am not letting a male touch me.
Can I say something, Kathy? If you saw my son, you'd be fanning your brow.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. I'd be calling him a weenie like everyone else is.
You would. He is very hot looking.
Can we get back to your husband slapping you?
But we call it conditioning. We don't call it discipline. He only slaps me. Well,
You are nuts, lady.
How am I nuts? He only slaps me when we make love or if I burn the chicken. That's the only...
God!
Oh, so you
are nuts!
You think it's bad, but you're laughing at me.
I am laughing because you're pathetic, lady. You're pathetic.
I'm pathetic?
Yes.
Don't you think there are times when women need reconditioning?
No.
And readjusting?
No.
Our husbands come home at night. They are tired.
So am I when I come home at night and I don't slap my children or husbands.
Well,
I don't slap them.
How many husbands do you have?
I've only had one.
Well, you pluralized it.
Well, I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
All right.
Unlike you, when my
husband comes home and he's had a tough day, and I stand there and I ask him a stupid question like, how was your day? It's obvious it was bad. Don't you think I deserve to be slapped across the face?
No, you don't deserve that.
Why would I
you know, we're getting
question.
Off the subject
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
we're
very
getting off the subject
I am
here
stunned.
Of your weenie son.
I'm stunned.
Your weenie son, who
Kathy,
thought
dear, if
he
your
had
daughter...
a very strong stomach,
mm-hmm.
didn't. And then he got fooled by getting hit and getting hurt.
There's every indication that this boy may know karate or something.
Wait a minute,
so
the boy...
What? Your son was taking Marine setups or whatever
yeah.
the hell they
and
are.
And also, this boy, Johnny Lockwood, is a place kicker. He is 5'7" and weighs 125 pounds. He's a little, skinny kid. He kicks the football, right?
And how much does your son weigh?
Well, I've got the information here.
I'd rather you not put it out on the air, mister.
I'm going to put it out on the air.
You want to put everybody's abortions out on the air, but you don't want to put your son's weight?
If Mr. Henry says how much my son weighs, I will sue.
Hey, wait just a minute. You put out that lady had an abortion, her background checks, everything. I'm gonna say it.
Mr. Henry, you are running the risk of being sued.
I'm gonna say it. Your son weighs 240 pounds and is 6'6".
He plays
a defensive line position on the high school football team.
You'll be talking to our attorney, Mr. Henry.
And you and this bull dyke can go straight to heaven.
Oh, my God.
Did
sorry,
Kathy. Did she hang up, Mr. Henry?
She hung up, yeah. And
she
Kathy.
Has made me furious. I don't know if I can go to sleep now. I am so mad at this woman.
Well, I apologize for her last comment to you as well.
What did she say?
She said you and the bull dyke can go straight to hell.
How? You know what? I should sue her.
I would love to give you her name.
Oh, well, go right ahead.
Bobby Dooley, have you got a pen?
Yes, I do.
I can't hear you, hon.
Yes, I have a pen.
All right, your phone's away from your mouth.
No, it isn't. I have an ink pen. Give me her name.
Bobby Dooley.
Uh-huh.
610.
Mm-hmm.
South Ardmore Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
90005.
That's a zip code. You're missing a number.
No, 9 3 0s and a 5.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll sue, Mr. Henry.
Oh, you called back, huh?
Ma'am, I can sue you for what you called me.
Is the Bulldog still on? Send your tickets to the sports game.
I can sue you for what you called me. You don't know me.
Why don't you get some tickets to the Sparks?
What is that? The Sparks?
It's the WNBA team.
I live in Florida, lady.
Yeah, it's wild. This woman apparently believes that she can just sue anybody, even though her son is a bully, as you pointed that out. Now, oh, did I hang up on Kathy? Oh, that's too bad. I don't have a phone. Go ahead and say it.
Is the Bulldike gone?
Yes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The voice there of Bobby Dooley was actually Phil Henry, and the people that called, unpaid, unprompted people calling the show thinking she's real. That's the Phil Henry Show, and so much more. So much more. Now, we've had a difficult time sometimes describing our show to people, and I know many of you have had a difficult time. Sometimes you say, well, it's the guy who does the funny voices, because there's no radio show like ours anywhere on earth. So many of the talk shows sound the same. Ours is decidedly different because it really just kind of makes fun of the talk radio medium, because talk radio it's the most suck format going. That and album rock. Album rock blows on high. I don't need to hear any more Doors. I don't need to hear it. At what point do I become my father? At what point am I busting out, like my dad used to do, busting out the Glenn Miller records? You know, my father bust out the Benny Goodman. Yeah, it's great, Dad. I mean, I don't know. What do you want me to say? Listen to this. This is Pennsylvania 6-5000. Do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, I bust out the door. Well, the Doors, it's a bad example, because the Doors actually hold up a little bit. But the rest of it's crud. Now, let me tell you something. I'll prove it to you. My kids will respectfully sit and listen as I play a Beatles CD in the car, because they know the Beatles were supposedly really big, and they don't want to be disrespectful, and they know that Phil is a Beatles fan, and so they'll sit and be quiet, and they'll be incredibly bored to tears. Just bored. Unless there's a dopey song like Yellow Submarine, which my daughter thinks is cute, because it goes, we all live in a... Yeah, it's a kid's song, right? There's only two bands that they will listen to the way they listen to Linkin Park, or the way they listen to Radiohead, or the way they listen to Limp Bizkit, meaning they like it. There's only two. Do you know which two they are? Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. Those are the only two bands that hold up today. If you listen to Led Zeppelin, you're listening to everything and more that Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park do. Everything and more. Plant, even at certain points in the songs, starts to rap. His voice was a prototype for every rock and roll singer, practically, including the kid from Linkin Park. And Jimmy Page, you know, is a phenomenal guitar player. Now, I didn't like everything Led Zeppelin ever did. Why am I getting on this freaking subject? I'm talking about seven words or less. I wanted to talk about my show, and I'm off on Jimmy Page? Anyway, if you can describe the Phil Henry Show in seven words or less, please do that. Send it to Phil Henry Show, seven words or less, at phs@philhenryshow.com. And I spell my name, Philhendrie, philhenryshow.com. So describe the show, seven words or less, Phil Henry Show, at phs@philhenryshow.com. The winner, and when I say winner, what I mean is the person whose little seven-word slogan we like the most, we're going to give you a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, the Honolulu shirt. This is the brand new one, baby. The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Honolulu, celebrating the new Honolulu restaurant. And that will be, the winner will be announced like a week from Friday. A week from Friday. So get your emails in, even though we already have, at some point I guess I'll have to cut it off, because we got several hundred already. In 2 days, several hundred. Approaching like 1,000. So anyway, that's for the shirt. And we'll see what you have to say. I've been looking over some of them. They're pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. But how do you describe a show like ours in seven words or less? You don't. You just might as well start talking about Jimmy Page. Can you believe me? Now, the contest. Did you see Jimmy Page, I believe, had the technique. But actually, Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. And I got a couple of Zeppelin CDs in my player in my car. The kids will actually sit and they'll listen to that. But the minute some other crap comes on, forget it. And as I was saying, talk radio is one of these formats that we're just so tired of. And, you know, we're just tired of it. Just tired of it. Here's what I, if they just come out and say they're lying to you, I would love it. If every host in talk radio would come out and tell you the truth, that they're lying through their teeth to you. And I mean all of them. I don't care who you want to talk about. Limbaugh, any of them. They're all lying. Their number one concern is holding on to their job from one day to the next, not whether or not you vote Republican, Democrat, or beat your kids. Because it's no sweat off of them. So that's why we do the show that we do. And in the process of doing the show that we do, people are, you know, kind of surprised, agog, and aghast at the whole thing. So if you can describe our show in seven words or less, then we're well on our way to keeping the conversations a lot shorter when we're meeting fans out there, right?
Say, how would you describe your show? It's really interesting.
1-800-449-868. Yeah, Led Zeppelin. By the way, speaking of Led Zeppelin, it got me on the subject of David Coverdale. Was that a guy's name, Coverdale? Remember him? What was his problem? You know, it was this guy Plant comes out with the big long hair and the blonde curly hair. Next thing you know, you got this guy Coverdale who looks like a gay blade, and he's married to that Tawny Catane. And then I realize she's the one that beat up that ball player. Ain't she? Who's the ball player she beat up? Well, guess who she was married to before him? David Coverdale, who makes the worst, most corporate-sounding crud rock, and he was in a band called Whitesnake. Yeah, sure, whatever you say, pal. And I think he might even have been in Deep Purple or something like that. So in other words, when Robert Plant started screeching the way he screeches with that squeaky-ass voice of his, everybody started to squeak. Remember that Tawny Catane, and she was in one of those videos? Chuck Finley. She goes from David Coverdale to Chuck Finley? Boy, she does like him big and white, doesn't she? And those videos of his with the freaking, what do you call that stuff? That dry ice, all that smoke coming up, and she's dancing in a deerskin thong. And the whole thing, that's when rock and roll just became a parody of itself, just an absurd jackass parody of itself. Thank God things have changed just a little tiny itsy bit. But no, I can put on Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd in my car, but if I put on the Beatles, they are irritated. They don't like it. You know why? Because the music doesn't really hold up all that well. It's good music, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to listen to Eleanor Rigby, which is a good song, but like some of the earlier stuff, some of that bubblegum crap they did, man, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Let's just remember them for Sgt. Pepper's and some of that other crap. See, who else? Doors are okay, but I don't want to listen to that anymore, man. I just want to hear something like something completely different. Just put all the Doors records away, all the Led Zeppelin records away, all the Eagles records away, especially the Eagles. Put them all away, blow up all of those radio stations. The only thing I want to hear from that era now is Hendrix and AC/DC. I want something angry. I want it loud. I want it pissed off. I want it destructive. In other words, more Danny Bonaducci. Black Sabbath is a band, if I've said this once, I've said it a million times, they were not a good band. They were not a good band, you have to understand. But being a bad band, they were a prototype of the garage bands of the grunge era. Although, yeah, I can't say it. I mean, Pearl Jam, that's a great band. But Sabbath could barely freaking play. They were like the forerunners of the Ramones. I mean, they had a couple of guys that could play guitar, but the three-chord power rock those guys did, I am Iron Man, you know. And there's Ozzy, who couldn't sing his way out of a wet paper bag, and now he's only worth about $150 billion. And what am I going to do? I'm going to go home to my wife who's stealing my money? Thanks a lot. By the way, an indication we're winning the war in Iraq, more porn than ever before. They got a couple of porn movie theaters that opened up in downtown Baghdad. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.